Good morning. I want to again welcome friends and family as you came to a baby dedication this morning. I especially enjoyed my front row seat, well, almost front row, as far front as you can get in a church service. James, you talked about, I believe in God. Well, this morning as I was sitting there on my great seat, I believe in God more than I did when I came this morning. I don't know if you saw God's creation this morning, whether it was on the pictures, or maybe you were just observing one of these little children up here this morning, but I got a great glimpse of how big my God is, and I believe in that God even more firmly, just seeing those seven children being dedicated this morning. It's really where I want to go with my message this morning. I want to talk about the responsibility that we as parents have to raise these incredible creations as a gift from God. I've entitled my message, What a Gift. There's a verse in Psalm 139 that says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and I know that quite well. Did you see it this morning? Did you see the marvelous works of Jesus Christ? Now, some of you were here for a specific little life. Maybe your family, or maybe there's somebody up here that just caught your attention. One of the kids that caught my attention this morning, and he's caught my attention many times, is Aiden. I don't know if you noticed that little boy that was over here, John Elizabeth's little boy. He is one of the smiliest kids that I know of. There is not 2 minutes goes by in a Sunday school class where he doesn't smile. So, John, Liz, I told you this before, but you got an incredible gift. But you know, there's other gifts that were given specifically to each of those families. You know, you see, so Mark and Abby and their son Beckham. They almost have a basketball team working there already, or half of a baseball team or whatever. It's a real gift. You saw Jariah, and you know, there's a lot of prayers of going into that little boy and to see God work and just shape his foot in the right direction. And there's a lot of prayer been answered there already. And to see Crit so proud of his little boy, that was pretty cool to watch. Or Jethro and Roxanne. The iron sword's still coming. But to see your joy at your firstborn, it's incredible to watch. And yeah, just how Adeline fits into Jethro and Roxanne's family, and the wonderful family that they have. Merle and Karen. Merle, I saw a little emotion there. And that's okay. That's what daughters do. And Adelie, for Dave and Rhonda, just to see how that complements your family and the gift that she is to your family. But you saw that this morning, right? You saw the amazing gift of life. You know, a baby dedication service does not ensure that little baby is going to make the right choices in life. But what a baby dedication service to me is the responsibility that it places on us as parents. So I'm going to be talking to these seven couples this morning specifically, but I want everybody to consider the words and the responsibility it is of a baby dedication service. So I want to share four reasons why we do this service. Number one, I think it's a confirmation of a parent's love for God. Number two, I think it's a clarification of ownership. We want to clarify this morning who owns that child. Number three, it's a commitment to raise your children And then finally, it's claiming God's plan for your child. So I want to look first at a confirmation of your love for God. And the verse I picked out, and I'm going to be jumping all over the places with these verses, not really a sermon where I'm picking a passage and expounding on it. It's more of a topical subject talking about children and parenting. So Deuteronomy 6:5, and this is a confirmation of our love for God, says in verse 5, it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. I know that we're supposed to do that in a relationship with God, but I don't think there's any more relationship that requires all our mind, soul, strength than parenting. But again, this is a confirmation of our love for God. As I was preparing for this message, I was listening to a number of fathers' experiences in the delivery room. And the one that really stuck out to me was this one father was telling his story of the delivery of their first baby. And in the middle of the delivery, the wife passed out, and an emergency C-section was immediately ordered for this situation. This man was not a Christian at the time. As he recalled the situation, just the incredible stress of what they were going through and not knowing if they would even have a child or even if his wife would live, he said, that day in the middle of the delivery room floor, I knelt on my knees and I pleaded with God to save my wife and to save my child. And I prayed that God would save me also. There's something really emotional that stirs a love that I don't know if I can explain as a parent. But if you're a parent, you know how much love that you have for God and you have for your child. You know, my kids do not like for me to use examples of our family when I preach, but I think this is fairly generic, so I'm going to do it anyhow. You know, when Evan was born, it was such an emotional time for my wife and I, and I remember just how exhausted we were, how hard it was. And when Evan was born, the incredible emotion that came over both of us, it was like we had nothing left to do but thank our God, thank our Creator for what He created. I remember Kelsey's birth and just the incredible, I think stress would be the right word, when she was born, and just the incredible feelings of anxiety as she was born, not knowing what specifically was wrong with her at the time. She was born with club feet. And just was really nervous through that time. But feeling incredibly grateful for God again, but also understanding that God's got this. And boy, did He ever. And I thank God every day for that experience. And Kaylin, And Cordell, I remember so much the moment that they're born and just being incredible awe of what God has done. These births were such emotional experiences, and again, we had nothing left to do but to give thanks for their wonderfully made lives. So today, parents, this dedication service, not only did you dedicate your parents back to the Lord, but this day should be a confirmation of your love for God. The second thing, and hopefully I'm going to keep this fairly short because today is about the kids, and so I'm going to go fairly quickly through my message today. I want you to understand the clarification of ownership. Psalm 127:3 says this: "Children are a heritage from the Lord; offspring are a reward from Him." So there's a couple of things in this verse. You know, your children are a heritage from God. And I don't know what that does for you. But to me, to build a heritage, you need something to build it on. You need a heritage doesn't just happen. It takes a lot of intentionality. And it also says children are a reward from Him. But children are also placed in our care. And Doug alluded to this, that God places these children in our care for a time. And it can be pretty fleeting sometimes. And it can be pretty painful. It can be really rewarding. But God places those children in our care for a set amount of time. You know, as your children get older and they're over 18 and they're making a lot of their decisions on their own, we only have approximately 18 short years to shape that life. But we should be doing it with the mentality that God created this person to worship them. They're ultimately God's. We're just the steward of what God has given us. So this morning, parents, I want you to clarify the ownership and to clarify that we are only stewards of what God has given us. The next thing I want to talk about is our commitment to raise your children. Ephesians 6:4 says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children to wrath. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." As a dad, I think I know how to exasperate my kids. Not really proud of that at all. I don't know why I'm smiling. But a dad can create some really deep wounds in their children by exasperating their children. Sometimes it's all in good fun, and I get that. I think that's why I'm smiling. But it says, instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. In Proverbs, it talks about, train up a child in the way he should go, that he may not depart from it. Deuteronomy 6:6-9 says, "These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts." I want you to listen to these verses closely. It says, "Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and you walk down the road. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your house and all your gates." And we don't do all that stuff in our families. So partly because culture has changed, but I want to get what I think God is trying to say to us as parents through these verses. The first command he gives here is impress. Now, that's not a father trying to do a ballet move to impress his daughter. That's not what it's talking about there. It's a different kind of impress. This impress talks about is like stamp. You impress on their minds. So parents, we have a really big responsibility to impress upon our children's mind. How do we do that? Well, I'm not going to give you a manual how to do that, but you can be really creative in how you impress things on their mind. I've seen mothers who, wow, are just really creative in how they, maybe the habits they create or the traditions they create. And those things impress on their minds. It stamps on their minds. It can't be removed how important serving God is. And parents, I'm giving you a call to be creative in that. It takes intentionality. Second thing it says, I want you to impress on them when you sit at home. Now this gives me the distinct impression that parents should have a little time to sit at home. It's something that, I mean, we can smile about, but when's the last time you had your family, me included, sitting on your back porch swing, taking in an evening together, and just talking about some of the things that you feel are important in life? So create time to sit at home. To, you know, the funny part about time, when you create time, you become an influence. When you care about people, I don't care if it's with kids or other people, when you create time to speak into somebody's life or just to be there with them, all of a sudden you start to influence their decisions. You start to influence who they are. So moving down through this verse, it says you need to impress impress on them when you walk down the road. Now, we don't walk down the road anymore, so I'm going to say when you go down the road in your car, okay? Don't take your car rides for granted. When you go to pick up your kids at school, make sure you're asking them about their day. Or maybe you should ask them about the things that they really struggle with during the day. Or maybe some of the things they really liked. Or maybe if you're going on a trip, you, for the parents that are younger, you get out your radio Bible theaters or your Odyssey tapes, and you listen to that on a drive. I said tapes, didn't I? Yeah, that's what my kids listen to. But you impress on them good stuff, even when you're walking on the way or in your car. It says, tie them as symbols. Now, I love to go in a house, and I'm sure there was a party for this at one time, but you got these big verses on the wall. I'm a fan of those. It's something that you can, you're just declaring that verse of your house. And then it talks about door frames and gates. Now, we don't have, I've never seen any messages on our door frames and the gates of our house. But here's where I want to go with that this morning. We as parents are the gates to our children. I want to encourage you as parents, in the day and age that we live in, to be a gate for what comes into your home. And some of these gates, you don't even know there's an opening. But I want to encourage you as parents to guard the gates. If you're not very good at technology, I would encourage you to talk to other men in the church. How do you do this? How do you deal with the technology you put in front of your kids on a daily basis? How do you form the gates, the boundaries. And trust me, I'm a dad up here. I live in this world too. It's not easy, okay? But as parents, take the time on those door frames and on those gates. I want you to be aware of what you're letting into your home, because that's what God is commanding us to do here. You know, those boundaries that we make, they're the door frames. They're the gates that will help impress on the mind of your child the right way to go. Make your home a holy place. There's some other things that we as parents can do, and that's to pray. And I know that these seven beautiful children up here, they were prayed over immensely. But continue to pray for your children. Show them by example. Live a righteous life. Teach your child about Christ. And one last but not least is, I want you to love your child. Love your child, even when he's ruling you with an iron sword. Even when it's hard. Even when you disagree with what they're doing. Love your child. And the last thing this morning is to claim God's plan for your child's life. Joshua 24:15, the whole story is a really cool example of leadership, which we're all called to do, especially dads in this room. Joshua 24:15 says, "But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living." And we know the next phrase, right? It's coming. You know it? "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." It's an incredible charge for us as dads. And I'd like to just pick through what happened immediately afterwards. You know, Joshua let them make the decision. He didn't say, "You have to serve God." He just said, "Here's what I'm going to do. For me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." I think it is worth turning to. Turn to Joshua 24, verse 16. Joshua 24, verse 16. It's the verse right after what I just read. I want to show you what happened. Verse 16 says, "Then the people answered, 'Far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our parents up out of Egypt from that land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled.'" That was the response. But I guarantee you, the people in verse 16 would have ended up in a much different place if one man hadn't taken a stand. So parents, I want you guys to take a stand for what's right. I want you to be on the forefront of claiming God's destiny for your child. And that takes a stand. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Here's my challenge. I want you to lead well, parents, because we need leaders. I want you to train so well that your child is equipped to be God's workmanship. My message was short this morning, but I hope it spurs some thoughts that you can take out of this sermon, out of this church service, and maybe this afternoon or this evening, you can sit down as parents and say, how well am I leading? How well am I training? How much do I love God, and how does that love for him make me want to parent well? So in conclusion, this service has four purposes. It's to confirm our love for God. It's to clarify whose ownership it is that has our children. It's a commitment to raise your children. And it takes a lot of intentionality. And it's claiming God's plan for your child and to lead you and to lead well. This morning, my prayer is that we would embrace the power that you have to be parents. Let's pray. Lord, thank you today for parents. Lord, it is a humbling experience. It is hard. It becomes wearisome. But I just pray, Lord, that you would give us the strength to walk in the joy that our children give, to just be there for our kids and to impress on their minds each step of the way, and help us do everything we can, everything that you're calling us to point them that they can find the purpose that they are called to. Pray this in your name. Amen.
Us as parents, especially how much we need the Lord, the shepherd, to lead us. But wherever you're at this morning, maybe you don't have children, you're single, or maybe you never had children, wherever it is where you feel like you need the Lord's help, I just invite you to think about that, reflect on that for a moment. And what does it mean for you to say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord this week? Let's sing this song together, Gentle Shepherd. Face